Oh, brother, this was so silly. See, I want to be sure y'all really love my singing. When you're a famous musician like me, you hate to perform for an audience of noodles. If you really love my singing, sit up and beg for a song. Drover and I traded glances, and he whispered,
Is he kidding?
I don't think so. He wants us to go into the begging position.
Should we do it?
We have no choice, Drover. We're trapped, unless you'd rather walk home.
No, my feet hurt. Let's beg.
I agree. Let's do the routine, listen to the tiresome thing, and get it over with. Surely it won't take too long. We settled ourselves into the seat, raised our front paws, and became nice little beggars. It was embarrassing, but what can you do? Slim nodded and grinned. That's pretty good, and I'm really honored. But I think it might be better if you whined, too. Can you whine for a song?
Whine? Absolutely not. I had never whined for a song in my whole life, and I wasn't fixing to start now.
I turned to Drover, who was sitting there like a little stooge with his paws in the air. Cancel. Abort. We're calling this thing off, Drover. It's just too ridiculous. We're going on strike. And with that, we lowered our front paws and braced ourselves for the consequences. Would he kick us out? Make us walk home? I didn't care. We have our pride, you know, and a dog can stand only so much cowboy nonsense. Slim's grin wilted. You ain't gonna give me a whine? No, sir. No whines. Not today, not ever. If he wanted an audience of whiners, he should sing to a cat. Dumb dogs. Y'all just don't appreciate real talent. This was so childish. I couldn't believe he was doing it. He shrugged. Oh, well, I couldn't think of a song anyway.
See, he put us through all that nonsense, and he didn't even have a song to sing. This was outrageous.
He looked off to the west and sat up in the seat. He was staring at something.
I'll be darned. There she is, that same coyote.
This I had to see for myself. I pushed Drover aside, marched over to the left window, stepped up into Slim's lap, and peered off to the west.
Watch where you're stepping, bozo.
Sorry. Slim pointed into the distance.
Look yonder. See her on the edge of those cows? She's a pretty little thing. Has a nice coat of hair and looks healthy. She's waiting for me to toss her some feed.
I narrowed my eyes and focused them on the edge of the herd. Sure enough, there she was. So it was true. This wasn't just another of Slim's windy tales. She stood off to herself, watching us with a steady coyote gaze. And yes, she was kind of pretty. I looked closer. She was very pretty. I leaned against the window ledge. She was gorgeous! And suddenly my mind was flooded with a torrent of fragrant memories from long ago. Holy smokes, do you realize who that was? You won't believe this, so hang on. It was Missy Coyote! Missy Coyote, the lovely coyote princess, the woman of my dreams, my one and only true love. At one point in my career, I had given serious thought to throwing it all away, joining up with the coyotes, becoming a professional cannibal, and marrying Missy. That hadn't quite worked out, but wowee, there she was again. My whole body trembled with something. Excitement? Delight? I wasn't sure I could contain myself, and I didn't. I lost it right there.
Ow! Ow!
Hank, dry up. You'll scare her off.
Dry up? Was he joking? Can you dry up a mighty river that rushes to the sea? He could forget about me drying up. I was too far gone for that. I hopped my front paws up on the armrest and reloaded my air tanks for another announcement of love. You won't believe this. The window glass had just rolled up on my neck.
Help! Help!
Was I going to just stand there while the thing chopped off my head? Heck no! I did what any brave, strong, red-blooded American cowdog would have done. I braced my feet against the armrest and went to full reverse on all engines. And we're talking about claws that were...
Hank, hold still. You got your neck in the winder.
Throwing up sparks and hunks of solid concrete. Did he need to tell me my neck was caught in the window? Hey, it was my neck, and I knew exactly what was happening to it. And if he thought I was going to hold still while the window cut off my head, he was nuts. I thrashed and struggled, but the window pressed tighter, ever tighter, around my throatillary region.
Hank, get away from the button. You're making it worse.
Buttons? Did I care about his buttons? My head was getting cut off. Suddenly it was over. Not my life, but the ordeal. It happened fast. 1 second I was thrashing wildly against the deadly grisp of the window's grasp. And the next second, well, I was flying backwards across the seat at a high rate of speed. My neck was free, my life was saved, and I sure gave Drover a plowing. We both ended up on the floorboard in a heap. Maybe you think I destroyed the window or jerked the glass right off its hinges. Good guess. But the tooth is even stranger than friction. See, somehow in the middle of the crisis, the terrible crisis, the window rolled itself down again, saving my life by the narrowest of margins. The cab of the pickup fell into an eerie silence. Nobody said a word. Slim looked at the back of his hands. They showed long red marks, perhaps scratches. Okay, maybe I'd scratched him up a little bit. His eyes came at me like bullets.
Good honk. Did you have to claw me half to death?
I was being decaffeinated. What did he expect? Decapitated.
And looky here, you tore my shirt.
Shirt? He was worried about his shirt?
He opened the door and stepped outside. Get out of my pickup, you meathead, and don't ever set foot in it again.
Fine with me, buddy. The sooner I got out of that dog killer pickup, the quicker I would keep my head where it was supposed to be. I slunk across the seat and dived out the door, one step ahead of the boot he aimed at my tail section.
Now get in the back and try to